Welcome to the Interview IQ podcast. My name's Carolyn Brown. I'm the founder of Interview IQ. And one of the pleasures I have in having this blog is that I actually get out and about to speak with interesting people who are doing a lot of innovative things to help people find jobs. You've all heard of TripAdvisor, where you can write online reviews about places that you've stayed or visited. Now here comes JobAdvisor. This is a site where employees can write reviews on their current or past employer. Today I'm talking to Justin Babbitt. Justin's the founder and the brains behind jobadvisor.com.au. And if you're looking for a job, you really should check this site out for a review. If you want to help people find a job, this is also a site where you can write reviews as well. Now today we're talking about a whole lot of different things, including how employees and employers can make the most of the site. If you're looking for a job, what you can do with some of the information that you find and what you really should be asking of a good employer. So Justin, I first wanted to cover a little bit about you and how JobAdvisor came about.
Yeah, sure. Well, my background is in recruitment. So yep. I was with Expand, which we were just talking about, for 10 years.
Yeah.
I finished at Expand in December last year. I was MD for a couple of years.
Yeah.
My role before MD was general manager. So I was heavily involved in online marketing in a recruitment sense.
Yep.
And a big part of my role was working with companies like Yahoo who outsource their recruitment to us.
Yep.
So working with them around their own, I guess, their talent acquisition strategies and,
yep.
and figuring out how to, I guess, promote that business in the market to attract yep. the best talent.
Yeah. And were they doing anything exciting and innovative at that time?
Look, to be fair, it was putting in the basics for yep. Yahoo. But I suppose probably one of the key things around the Expand's market generally was that we were very heavily focused on digital media.
Yep.
So online and everything associated with online was
yep.
was a big passion for me, and,
yep.
and that was why I really wanted to leverage that recruitment knowledge into the online space.
Yeah.
But really, I guess to answer your question around how JobAdvisor came about, one of the things that really used to get me both at a I guess at an emotional level, but also at a financial level, was
yeah.
Was the candidates would accept roles with clients who hadn't necessarily told them
the full
yeah. story, right? And there's a statistic that I saw recently that 25% of candidates, or 25% of employees, leave their job within the first 12 months.
Yeah,
and that's crazy,
yeah.
right? That's really high. And as a recruiter, that would cost me money,
mm.
right? So I would have done a lot of work.
Yeah.
To have a fee that would fall out effectively.
Yeah.
But probably, well, much more importantly for the candidates themselves,
mm.
It looks terrible on their CV
yeah.
to be jumping around
yeah.
And to be leaving a role within a couple of months or even within the first 12 months.
Yeah.
And it might not necessarily be their fault.
Yeah.
You know, the employer might have oversold the opportunity. And,
mm.
You know, that really bothered me. And I just, you know, my approach to hiring for myself was always, sure, you tell a great story and,
mm.
you try and paint a vision, a compelling vision and,
mm.
and a picture, but I'd always tell them the downside of the job
mm.
and the, you know, be realistic around what the challenges are. And if they're still interested,
mm.
Then they're the right person for the job.
Yeah.
And I felt like for myself as an employer, that was actually a real benefit to me.
Yeah.
But I think it probably got a few people who probably wouldn't have been right for the job that I would have loved to have hired
mm.
To say no.
Mm.
And in the end, that was actually
a benefit
for both of us.
Yeah.
And so I thought, how do I solve this problem?
Yeah.
And really it comes down to having the information before you apply
yeah.
Or before you accept a role.
Mm.
And having a look at different industries. I mean, for example, TripAdvisor is an analogy that I use a lot
mm.
for JobAdvisor. So TripAdvisor is where you rate a hotel or a restaurant once you've stayed there or eaten there. And JobAdvisor is very similar, that
mm.
you anonymously rate your employer once you've worked there or even while you're still working there.
Mm.
And that's really the only way to get a real honest perspective on what it's like to work at that employer.
Mm.
Because I think, you know, companies do surveys
mm.
themselves, and most of the time those surveys are anonymous, but usually they're driven from the employer themselves. And
mm.
I think I've filled out those sort of surveys before and had hesitation around being completely honest
yeah.
And telling them what they really need to hear.
Mm.
And really JobAdvisor provides that platform
mm.
for people to give that feedback
mm.
To their employer, but also the benefit of that is that other people can see
mm.
what's being said and then make their own judgment
yeah.
based on that.
And how honest do you get a feel for people being on the site?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think overwhelmingly honest.
Yeah.
Sometimes maybe a bit too honest.
Sometimes you look and go, okay.
Yeah, there's one of the things that comes up a lot is can people just get on there and have a whinge?
Yeah.
And look, they can, but everything gets moderated. Mm. So 8% of our reviews are actually rejected based on that they are just having a whinge, or maybe they've mentioned specific individuals, and we don't allow that. We also ask for pros and cons, and if someone just says I have nothing positive to say, then it will get rejected because I honestly believe that you can find at least one thing that you like about that employer, even if it's just that they pay me for showing up.
Yes.
And so we do really guide the users into providing a balanced perspective.
Yeah.
And I think because of that, we do get a really good, honest response. And the more responses we're getting, the replies are actually getting a lot longer and more detailed. Look, we do get... I've covered the negative side. On the positive side too, sometimes we do get people just saying amazing things about their employer because they've got... You know, they've got an agenda. They want to make it easier to attract people if they're a recruiter for that employer or whatever it might be. But I think you can pick those pretty easily as well. And having a look through, when you start to have a look through companies, particularly that have a lot of reviews, you start to get a very firm sense of what's the consistent feedback.
Yeah.
What are the trends that you're starting to see within that employer?
Yeah.
And it starts to become quite obvious.
You can see, I think, that level of honesty. Like you can sense something that is a genuine from the heart type
Absolutely.
Thing compared to a bit of corporate spin or a download type thing. So,
exactly right.
Yeah.
And that's proven to be true. Yeah.
So what are people looking for in like a good employer? What's coming up?
It's a really good question, and I think. There's a lot of surveys out there that will tell you, these are the different things that people look for. In my experience, a lot of those sorts of things have come up. So, job security, and management. They always say, you join a company, you leave a company because of the manager. You don't leave it, because of the company. All of a salary, all of those sorts of things have come up. But it's been quite interesting because I think the companies that have done the best have actually been. The companies that were our early adopters.
Mm.
Now, I think you could say, well, they're doing well because they're asking for that feedback or whatever it might be. But it seems to be that those are the companies that they're open to feedback.
Mm.
Culturally, they're open.
Mm.
They're open to feedback, and as soon as they saw it, Deloitte, for example, or Adobe, and these sorts of businesses, they just get it.
Yeah.
And I went, we want that feedback. We want to know what our staff are saying. And it's not necessarily that they've got a comfort that their staff are going to say good things.
Mm.
It's that their culture is that they want feedback.
Mm.
And I think if you apply it, if you take that approach to any sort of relationship, relationships that fall down are where one side of the relationship feels like they're not happy and they're not being heard.
Yeah.
I think it's the same with companies. Mm. It's a relationship between that person and the company. And if they just feel like they're being heard, I think that goes a long way to making it a better relationship.
Yeah.
So I think really at the end of the day, it's that philosophy, if you like, of wanting to listen, wanting to know.
Yeah.
And not like a lot of companies that get negative reviews that have been on the site that I've spoken to, they just don't want to know.
Yeah.
And... to me, that's crazy.
Mm.
It's just, I think it's completely the wrong approach.
Mm.
So
how do companies deal with the negative?
Look, I think the negative can actually be a real asset.
Yeah.
So one of the conversations that I have with employers all the time is to say, don't be afraid of the odd negative review, even if there's quite a few negative reviews. The real thing, or the key thing around it is that it adds... authenticity and trust, I think, to the positive reviews.
Mm.
And it's exactly, I'm sure you can imagine, for example, if you have a look at Adobe's reviews, they're all positive.
Mm.
And I've even had feedback to say, is Adobe kind of gaming the system here? Because they don't have any negative reviews. So for Adobe, as an example, a negative review there would actually remove that natural cynicism and add a little bit more weight to the rest of the reviews. Telstra's been a perfect example.
Yeah.
So Telstra's had... A few negative reviews, a few middle of the road, but they've actually been overwhelmingly positive, and I was surprised about that, I have to say, and I'm sure they won't mind me saying that, because my impression of Telstra was probably an impression from 5, 6, 7 years ago as an employer, and they've changed a lot in the last couple of years, particularly under David Thodey, and that's really starting to show in the reviews from their employees. It's been really interesting to have a look at how those negative reviews actually add a lot more weight to the positive reviews again, particularly for a company where I might have a natural degree of cynicism about them. So, I don't think the negative reviews are necessarily a bad thing. The other side of the coin is that if it's all negative reviews, again, going back to my comment before, that wouldn't you want to know that as an employer? And if employers often I get the feedback, I don't know what our employees are going to say. I think they might say something negative. Now, my response is always, if that's the case, you need to do this. Yeah. You need to know so that you can do something about it.
Yeah.
Because having a review on JobAdvisor isn't going to make or break your company. But having unhappy staff and a negative culture will break your business.
Yeah.
And you need to fix it.
Yeah, and it goes back to that point that you said about people being embracive of feedback. And,
that's right.
Yeah.
Well, I also think it's understanding that the business environment has changed.
Yeah.
And it's... this is how things operate now. Social media has changed the game, and you can ignore it and hope it goes away. But the companies that are doing the best, I think, are the ones that are embracing it, and they will definitely be on the forefront.
Yeah.
Of the market.
How are people getting to know the site? Where are they? Where's the traffic coming from?
Look, this is probably one of my big pain points, I suppose. You know, it's my biggest challenge. Is getting the word out. So we do a little bit of advertising on Facebook. LinkedIn is probably the key strategy for us in terms of driving reviews to the site. We actually rank quite highly in organic results in Google.
Excellent.
So and we're doing our own search engine marketing there as well that will drive reviews specifically to look at the reviews.
Yeah.
So the our audience is actually split into people we want to review and then people we want to then read those reviews. I guess one of the things that's been very successful for us is partnering with companies like EY, for example, just did this last week. They started to promote it internally because they see the benefit in having lots of reviews. As employers are starting to seek those reviews, we're actually starting to build traffic a lot more quickly. But it's one of those things where I do feel strongly that we need to get to a tipping point where we've got enough reviews there that we're the default first point of call when you're looking for a job.
Yeah.
And we're not there yet.
Yeah.
But I can see us getting to that point in the next little while.
So just going back to that kind of job hunting aspect, what do you think gets in the way of that level of honesty that people need at that point?
What do you mean?
Well, you know, there's lots of questions people have about employers that when they're looking for a job that they should ask, that they're probably too scared to ask in a way. So... Is it employers being too scared to present the negative side of themselves? Job seekers being too scared to ask questions?
It's a really good question. In some cases, I feel like maybe they don't know to ask. And to ask some of the questions that they might be prompted to ask if they'd read a negative review, for example, on JobAdvisor, might come across as rude, you know. But I did have some feedback. I had someone who was going for a job at Optus, actually.
Yeah.
I have no idea what happened. I don't know if they got the job or not. But she sent me an email saying, look, thanks for making this, putting the site out there, because she was able to do a lot of research on Optus before she went in for interview, and it changed the questions that she asked.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if she said, you know, I read on JobAdvisor XYZ, and that's why I want to know this. But I think it definitely, because you've only got an hour usually, or maybe over 2 or 3 interviews, maybe more if it's a more intensive process. But normally they're asking you the questions, you don't really get a chance to ask much. So having a very clear perspective on what you want to know and what you want answered, I think definitely helps as part of that recruitment process.
Yeah. Do you have any tips for people that... might need to ask the hard questions and the way that they should phrase them?
Yeah, I hadn't really thought about that.
Just thought I'd throw that in.
Yeah, no, that's right. Look, I think it's, I think like all things, it's, like I always say, when I was in recruitment to candidates, when you're prepping for an interview, try and make it more like a conversation. And it's, you need to have firmly fixed in your head that it's, you're not necessarily only interviewing with them, they're interviewing with you. And as long as you have that mindset around things, it will be a natural part of the conversation to delve into things. And the way that most interviewers at least should be asking their questions is they'll ask a very broad question and then delve down further into more detail and then more detail and then more detail and then come back to their, I guess, their key line of questioning. And I think it's the same approach with as a candidate. You know, you want to know the key things that you want to get out of that conversation, and if the answers take you down a certain path, follow that path until you're satisfied with the answer, and then come back to your key line of questioning. So, to summarise that, if there's any sort of advice I would give, it would be to prepare your questions in advance so you know exactly what you want to ask. Probably prior to asking those, well, writing down those questions would be to understand your objective. You know, what do you want to get out of that meeting? You know, it is actually really useful to turn the heat back on the employer and get them to sell to you. If the employer's selling to you because you've asked the right questions, you've done your job well.
Do you, just from, I guess, your sense of feedback from the site, do you think people have too high an expectation of their employer nowadays in terms of what they should be offered and that type of thing? Or is it just a whole mixed bag?
You know what? I don't have any empirical evidence either way. My sense is that a lot of companies are jumping on the bandwagon of offering perks, you know, the Me Too perks. Oh, we've got a pool table, oh, we've got a pinball machine, or, you know, you get a gym membership or whatever it might be. And I think because of that, in some ways it might create a bit of an environment of, you know, comparison of what perks you get in one company versus the other. In my experience, in my personal view, it's kind of irrelevant. At the end of the day, people want a work environment that that they feel comfortable in, you know, and that, like I said before, a company that listens to them and that will I guess, always do the right thing by them. And if you have those basics, all of the perks in the world are irrelevant. If you don't have those basics, all the perks in the world are relevant too. You know, so I don't know if I really answered your question there, but I think
maybe people are, or employers have been creating a bit of a rod for their own back in terms of, or they're maybe just some not ways, but focused on what's really important to people.
I always think, like with most things, it comes down to the fundamentals. And you know, whether expectations are higher for employers these days or not, I think the more important question to ask is, do you have the fundamentals right as an employer? And from an employee's perspective, does this business have its fundamentals right? You know, does it have the right sort of philosophy in terms of how it treats its people? If it consistently does the right thing by people, it's a good employer, generally speaking. And if it consistently does the wrong thing by people, I wouldn't go there. So, and I think that's the real question.
And are some of those reviews on the site, are they being, do they come up on Google searches as well?
Yes, they do.
You know, you might have Optus, terrific benefits, blah, 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 and at some point that gets...
That's right. Now, the way that Google will pick it up is probably on a broader sense than a specific review. Because in the reviews themselves, they might not necessarily mention Optus. But the way that it is picking it up is it's sending it back to the reviews page for that particular company. So then you'll be able to click straight in, you know, be able to see all the reviews for that particular company.
And I noticed, I don't know if it's a recent feature, but you actually have a section where you can match your expectations up with, or what you're looking for up with, a particular employer. That search function, is that new? Or
we actually don't have that at the moment. You do have, you do, when we collect reviews, you rate the employer out of 5 stars for 6 different key areas. Now, we will be adding the ability to search on those sorts of things. In fact, we're doing a lot of stuff around how you, as a user, might want to slice and dice that information. But at the moment, no, you can't necessarily search on that. You can just search on company at the moment. So it's really the way that we've, the way that the site is at the moment is, if you know who you want to work for, go onto the site, well, if you're considering a job, I should say,
yeah,
with a particular company, you can go onto the site and search on them and see what people have said about them. If you, where we're going with the site is to be able to get in and say, for users who don't know where they want to work, and search on industry, for example, see who the top employers are in that industry, search on those companies that have a great work environment, if that's what's important for them, or a great leadership team, or you know, great compensation, or whatever it might be. So those are the sorts of things that will be coming.
Yeah. And how are employers using it? Are you getting feedback, consistent feedback from employers?
Yeah, so the one of the... the surprising things for me was that the response from employers has actually been overwhelmingly positive.
Yeah.
I think even those that are worried about what their employees might say, they still see the value and the benefit from having reviews on them. It's kind of like testimonials on steroids, because testimonials are always going to be positive, right? You weed out the negative ones.
That's right.
Reviews are definitely something that is just many, many more times powerful and believable than even testimonials. But in regular marketing speak, testimonials is fantastic, because people will take someone else's word over your word, even if they don't know that person. So really leveraging that is very important. And the way that I explain it to employers is to say it really allows them to tell to let their employees tell their story. So forget about your marketing spiel. Forget about what you think is amazing. Let your employees say what they like and what they don't like. And that, at the end of the day, that's all that really matters. And at the end of the day, that's all that potential employees care about. You know, what's it really like? Forget about what you say it's like. So I think for the feedback from employees, they get that. I think they really do get that, and they understand how powerful that can be. I think... In terms of the way that companies have been, I guess, been using it, like I said before, Ernst & Young, for example, seeking, you know, reviews from their own employees, not only from a branding perspective, but again, they want that feedback.
Yeah.
They want to know.
Yeah.
And they want... in some cases, I've spoken to some HR managers who feel like they've been beating the same drum for a long time and they're not getting anywhere.
Yeah.
And making it public... gives them, I think, a lot of impetus or, I guess, clout, if you like, to be able to say to the business, this is what our staff are saying about us. Whether we're on JobAdvisor or not, they're going to be saying this about us.
Yeah.
And whether they're saying it on JobAdvisor or not, they're out there on Facebook or Twitter or at a barbecue saying it. We need to fix this.
Yeah.
And this is the feat. This is, these are the things that we need to do about it. And I think that's very, very valuable.
Yeah. So 5 years down the track, what would you like JobAdvisor to... I'm sound like you're an interviewer now.
Yeah.
5 years down the track, what's the vision?
Look, first of all, we do want to be international.
Yeah.
There is a... One of our key competitors actually... Well, our key competitor is a company in the States called Glassdoor.
Yes.
And it's a brilliant site. The problem with Glassdoor, in my view, is that it's very American-centric. And... particularly from an Australian perspective, I don't necessarily see that there's a lot of value for users or for employers in having a site that's all about the United States. So we definitely want to have a localised strategy for Australia, but we also then want to replicate that internationally.
Yeah.
So we really want to, I guess, leverage that across Asia initially. And I think you know, one of the key reasons why I think a localised strategy is relevant in this market is that most Australians are looking for a job or an employer in Australia. So we want to appeal to most of the market. But by the same token, there are a lot of Aussies who go and work in Singapore and Hong Kong, for example. And look, the UK is definitely a hotspot of activity too, but I feel like Asia is really on the rise at the moment, and that's where we want to be. In terms of the Australian marketplace specifically, we definitely want to be the first place that people go when they're looking for a job.
Yeah.
But more than that, I think I don't necessarily want to just pigeonhole ourselves as being, in recruitment speak, targeting the active job market.
Yeah.
We definitely want to be positioning ourselves in the passive side of the job market too, so those that aren't necessarily looking for a job. And part of the product strategy there is really moving down a path towards being more of a career portal where you can benchmark your salary, you can get advice on or ideas around how you might be able to progress your career into different directions, and how you ask for a pay rise, and all of those different sorts of things that come up in the day-to-day of your of your career management, I think are very, very applicable for the platform that we're starting. It just so happens that we're starting it at the review side of things. So.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because one of the reasons that I found a great demand for Interview IQ is that people don't get good down-to-earth career advice from experts.
Exactly.
So they might get job advice from their parents who tell them to go and do this course at uni because you always fall back on it, which is probably the worst advice you can give anyone. They don't really know anybody in HR. There's nobody internally. Recruitment consultants give a certain perspective, but it's, you know, they're working quite often on behalf of the client.
Yeah.
So there's no one real place that I think people can get that no BS approach.
That's right. Like, well, also what I found from my personal experience, and I think this might be the unique view of a recruiter, because as a recruiter you get to see how businesses structure and what roles fit where and what jobs are out there, basically. And I had no clue about any of that before I got into recruitment. And I feel like I'm so much better equipped now to figure out what I want to do, because I know what exists out there much more than I did before anyway.
Yeah.
And I really want for everyone else to have that that same advantage in knowing what's out there, particularly obviously for school leavers. You know, my career advice was, well, you did science, so go and do a science degree. Okay, well, that's not very helpful. You know, Mum wanted me to be a lawyer, obviously, or a doctor or something, and that wasn't interesting for me. You know, if I had someone who just said to me, what are you interested in? What do you do for fun? You know, in your spare time that could translate into a career, I would have answered completely differently. And if I had some way of understanding exactly what that meant in terms of job opportunities for me, that would have been that would have been huge. And whether that's your school leaver or you're partway through your career, you know, and you're at the end of your career and you're trying to figure out what's next, I think that's completely relevant.
And I think the other thing too, it's what I haven't seen so much out there on the web is just that kind of advice for people that don't fall in. You know, people are completely unique and have unique questions.
Yeah.
And lots of people have questions around changing careers, or I've got a disability, how do I talk about it in an interview? Or I think I'm being discriminated against, I'm not sure.
You know,
all of that kind of stuff that just
doesn't come up.
So there's a huge market for.
Well, one of the things that we are on that point that we're doing, it's in our product strategy, is to actually introduce interview feedback.
Yeah.
Now that's for two reasons. One, companies want to know if they're doing a good job or not.
Yeah.
But in the same way as the reviews, that then provides other users with an insight into that interview process with that particular company. And that's where I think we'll start to answer questions from other people that have been through exactly the same experience with exactly the same company around how do you handle those sorts of questions or how do you handle those sorts of issues. The other thing that is in our product strategy is to add the ability to ask questions. So you might ask a question of the employer themselves, or you might ask a question of other employees. And that's another way to start to delve into those sorts of things, and it basically provides a platform to answer that sort of stuff that you've just talked about.
So where can people find you?
www.jobadvisor.com.au. One of the things that I really wanted to get across today is that, and I think one of the things you prepped me on was how can people get involved? And really, I think the key thing is if people see value in this, and I do get a lot of feedback saying that at least some people do, that if you do see value in it, I'd really encourage people to get on and do a review. It's the way that I'm viewing it, or the way that I'm talking about it, is that it's really a community resource. And the only way that we can build it is by getting together as a community and building that content together. So it is, you know, it's user generated content at the end of the day. Every review helps and makes a difference. You can review your current employer, you can review previous employers. It will say on the reviews if it's by a current or a previous employee. So that's probably the key thing that we would need help with at the moment, and getting the word out, basically.
Excellent. Well, I hope everybody takes note of that.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Justin. It's been great to talk to you.
You too.